depth of our soul. His name shall be praised. The name of the Lord shall be praised. And word of God, this is going to, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. How many know he's a strong tower? Where the righteous running into it and are saved. Isn't that glad? Aren't you glad to know tonight if you're righteous, you can run into the name of the Lord and be saved? Amen. The name of the Lord, a mighty tower, his name shall be praised. So we bless the Lord tonight for being here. Thank God for all of you being here. We thank God for blessing my wife, continue to press her way. And for all of you, we thank God for the praise report that Kenny went home today. And after major surgery, we just thank God. Amen. That God is still working in his people. Can we say praise the Lord? Just a reminder, now this Friday, as I said, we're going to go over some of the things for knowledge sake, not for fear. You know, a lot of times when you deal with end time and current events, people are afraid. But we're doing this more for knowledge. Amen. Because the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. I watched another video over how evil, how sinister, how diabolical our government and officials are. Amen. Just unbelievable. Amen. And I don't want to give you anything before Friday. For those that want to come, and there are some things we should make a sacrifice for. It's just to better ourselves. Amen. It's not something we're doing out of fear. So again, as I said, so we want to try and start. Is 7 o'clock a good time? Does anyone ever have? I know some of you all are tied up. So is 7 o'clock a good time on Friday evening? Yeah. Would it be better 7:30, 7 o'clock, or 7:30?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock, and it really is a two-part series because I don't want to stay long. So if the Lord tarries, next week we'll show the second part of it. All right. So we'll show the first part this Friday, and the second part next Friday. And if you're like me, you're going to be flabbergasted. And thank God we have a Savior. And thank God we have a Savior. Because what they're doing is so evil, so diabolical, so sinister. Amen. With this new technology that's supposed to make things better. Now, how many of us have heard the LED lights were supposed to be the wave of the future? Like I said, I don't want to get too much. It's a wave of the future, but it's not the wave you think it is. Right? It's a whole lot. And that I will tell you this. They show the street scene with regular street lights, the halogen street lights. With the regular scene, you can see all the stars and the moon in the sky. Then they show the same scene with LED lights. Couldn't see nothing. Couldn't see a star. Couldn't see a moon. Couldn't see anything. It's supposed to be better, right? I'm just saying, these are the things that we need to know, not to make, not for fear, because really God's in control. And I was thinking today, God will only let them go so far like he did with Darius, like he did with Nebuchadnezzar, like he did with Herod, when Herod proclaimed that Herod was God. God will only let them go so far. But we know the Bible prophesied that these last days are going to be so severe that if possible, even the very elect will be deceived. So this has to be a very strong spirit in order for the very elect to be deceived. This spirit of deception that's going out is so strong, but it's amazing. There are many in Congress, especially the military. The military officials are highly upset, amen, over some of the events that are taking place. And they said, everybody keeps acting like there's nothing you can do. They said, at least speak out. You don't have to let it happen, all right? So just keep that in mind. Now let's go to our notes. We're going to start back. And we're dealing, once again, that doubt is a sign of what? Little faith. Doubt is a sign of little faith. So let's just start here with Matthew, the 14th chapter, and we'll start in the 24th verse. And it reads, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And then the fourth watch of the night. Now we know the fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., right? Between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., and this is not daylight saving time. Remember Jesus said, work wise day, there are 12 hours to work. So we know that from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. back in those days would be daylight. From 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. will be dark, 12 hours. So between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. it means it's what outside? Dark. All right, so keep that in mind. Jesus went unto them walking on the water. And I like the other version that said, Jesus saw them struggling, and then he went walking to them. That's just a blessing to know that we have a Savior that's personally involved in our lives. When he sees that we're going through hard trouble and we can't get to him, guess what? He will come to us. And we say hallelujah. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. So the thing is, if it's pitch black at night, how could they see him? He must have been what? Radiant. He must have been a light. Just as Saul, when he was on his way to Damascus, said a bright light shined from heaven. So this is bright. This light was so bright it blinded Saul. So he went walking onto him. It had to be bright. Okay? They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I want to cross-reference that. I just didn't get a chance to. If I want to know if it's like he said in Exodus, I am. He said, it is I. Amen. It is I. Be not afraid. Then Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on. Now listen, you have to pay attention to the word. So he said, it is I. Right? Then Peter says, Lord, right? Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is. So he said, if it is you, Lord, Jehovah, bid me to come unto thee. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Why? He was obedient to what the Lord says. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, and as Elder Gibbs so eloquently brought out, nobody begins to sink. Right? When you're going to sink, you sink. But it just shows you that he was in the presence of the I Am. He was in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind. Now let's stop there for a minute. Now, did any of the circumstances change from when he started walking to he got to Jesus? It was still boisterous. They were still on the sea. In the middle of a raging storm, Jesus has a conversation. Right? In the middle of a storm. While everything is raging, he didn't wait till they got to the ship. They had the conversation. Why? In the middle of the storm. Isn't it glad? Aren't you glad to know who the Lord is? Because even in the middle of the storm, he can talk to you. So he said, in the middle of the storm, he talks to them. Did anything change? No. The wind was still boisterous. The storm was still raging, but he was in the presence of the I Am. And because he was in the presence of the I Am, they talked, they walked, they talked. Now, how did they get back to the ship? They walked together. What a mighty God we serve. Right? Even in the midst of all that chaos, they walked back to the ship. Then, when they got in the ship, the wind ceased. Sometimes when you just study God's word, all you have to say is, were things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. So in the middle of it, the storm is raging, the sea is just boisterous, everything is happening. Peter and Jesus are having a conversation. It shows you the power of our God. Can we say hallelujah? Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now we know the scripture says, you are to worship the Lord God, and him only shall thou serve. And twice in the book of Revelation, I believe it's in chapter 20, I believe chapter 19, when John falls down to worship at the angel's feet, the angel stops. He says, oh man, just like you. You are to worship God, and him only shall thou worship. So because Jesus allowed them to worship him, what does this make Jesus? God. Because if he was worshiping and he was just a man, as some proclaim, or just the Son of God, he would have had to stop him. Because we have the commandment, you should worship God, and him only shall I worship. So people are trying to figure out who the Lord is, just like the Bible tell you. Amen? All right, so now we went over this last week. There's no, in biblical Hebrew, in other words, in, according to the Hebrew language, there is no word for doubt. Because doubt means God does not exist. The Hebrew fully knew that doubt does exist. So we said, I'm just going to highlight this, in Genesis 37, Deuteronomy 28, and also Job 12, they use words for doubt. But each one of these words for doubt is a different Hebrew word because they have no Hebrew word for doubt. But because the translator tried to put it into our understanding, and I like to say because the translators don't understand the deep things of God because they don't have the Spirit of God, they can only relate this word as doubt, but it doesn't mean doubt. The first case when Joseph is speaking, that word doubt means he's torn, his son has been torn in two pieces. When Job uses the word doubt, it means truly or verily. And the other word for doubt, which is also a mistranslation, means opposite of or against. It has nothing to do with a mental concept. Right, so doubt in the Hebrew does not exist. And this makes me ask, then what did Jesus say to Peter? Right, if he doesn't say doubt, because Jesus spoke what language? Deacon George, I don't know if y'all are hot. Can you turn the heat off? I just turned it on to take the chill off, but now I'm going past the chill. All right, so if Jesus spoke Hebrew, and Hebrew don't have a word for doubt, the question is, what did Jesus say? All right? I suggest to you, let's go to number two. With this in mind, what did Jesus really say? I suggest to you that he is really saying something very Hebraic, meaning Jesus would have said Pela. And Pela means wonder, it means mirror. All right, and just as we reference, there are so many others, but I just chose this one. Psalms 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy Pela, wonderful works, which thou hast done. Thy thoughts which are towards us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I could declare and speak of them, they are more than can be. He's talking about his wonderful works. Number three, Jesus is asking Peter, Pela, is there anything too difficult or too hard for me? Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not what? Weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered. Now this word staggered means he didn't waver. All right, and then we know that James talks about wavering. Amen. It says, if any man ask anything of the Lord, and if he wavers, let not that man expect to receive anything of the Lord. So staggering is to waver. To waver in the Greek means to doubt. And James classified that kind of mindset as being what? Double-minded. All right, so when you stagger, you're double-minded. You're saying God can, and then you say God can't. This is to facilitate, vacillate, like a sine wave, you're up and down. You said God can and God can't, but God can. So he did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God, and he was what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So he was fully persuaded. He did not stagger. He did not waver. He did not have two mindsets when it comes to God. And that's what the devil has to get us to do for us not to get God's blessing. He has to make us see things through two minds, just like he did Eve in the garden. Right? Because if Eve had just listened to what God said and not listened to what Satan said, then she would have been all right. But he got her to see it from a different perspective. Any perspective that's contrary to God is not obedience, but disobedience, all right? To have faith is to act on the words of God without what? Hesitation. If you got faith, you don't have to figure out, as I said, when God told Peter, come, Peter didn't have to ask God, well, how am I going to get to you? What did he do? He immediately walked. He did not hesitate. He did not question God. He did what? Immediately he began, the Bible says he began to walk. So as long as he was walking according to God's word and obedience, he was okay. But the problem was, it's like it happened to us in church. We began to start looking around. Right? Don't take your eyes off of the main thing. And we know the main thing is who? Jesus. You know, so we all know about Faith Hall of Fame. Right? So Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he did not hesitate. Alright? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Matthew 4:21-22. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they did not hesitate. Right? These are the lost apostles. So faith and acting on God's word, you don't have to hesitate. You don't procrastinate. You don't come up with a bunch of excuses for why we can't do what God told us to do. Can we say praise the Lord? And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. 5, to have faith is to obey God's word. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should receive for an inheritance, he did what? What did he do? He obeyed and he went out. He didn't ask God, well, Lord, I'm going to go, but you got to give me some kind of indication where I'm going. He did what? He obeyed. That's what faith helps us. Faith should make us obey God, not question him, not hesitate, amen, not procrastinate. By faith, it's time to move. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Then what is doubt in this context? To doubt is to delay obedience. Right? So if God has spoken anything to us, and trust me, if you have a prayer life, and even if you don't have a prayer life, God speaks to us daily. God speaks to us all the time. Amen. The problem is the reason that we don't hear the voice of God is because we haven't developed a relationship with God to hear him speak. So God speaks all the time. So the thing is this, whatever God has told you to do, have you done it immediately or have you delayed? If you delayed, then you doubt. Peter walked to Jesus. As long as he walked, he was full of faith and obedience. The minute he delayed, he doubted. And when he delayed, what did he do? That's how good God is. He could have just let him suck and snatch him up. But he began. I would like to have seen that. How do you go down so slow? How do you just go down slowly? All right? Because God was still in control. In every storm in our lives, don't delay in obedience. Don't question God. Just do what he says do. It is not to have mental confusion or cognitive dissonance distance means lack of agreement between what is the truth and what people want to believe. And that's, it's so hard because the world has left an impression on all of us. Because the world teaches us seeing is believing. Ever since we were a child, we learned to, you have to see to believe. But God's language, God's operation is completely different. God says, believe, then you will see. Noah built the ark for 120 years. He believed, but they had never seen rain before. So the people didn't believe it was going to rain. For when Noah was talking about rain, they said, what is he talking about? We don't even know what rain is. But Noah was obedient to God. You know, unless you know, it doesn't have to happen immediately because he built for 120 years. But he was still obedient. Now, you know, he received a lot of scorn. He received a lot of ridicule, but he was still obedient. Amen. Even Lot, when God told him to go out, even though he delayed, when he finally left, we know Lot got a lot of scorn. Right? Lot got a lot of people saying, what's wrong with you? But we have to learn to obey God, even if we're in the minority. Can we say hallelujah? All right, let's keep going. Now, Psalms 117, 57 through 60. He said, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word. I entreated thy favor with my half heart. With my what? In the day that you seek out him with your, you got to have your whole heart. And even when some of us have gotten saved, we still seek God half-heartedly. But if you learn to seek him with your whole heart, then you will find him. A lot of us are having questions to life problems, but we're half-heartedly seeking God. But in the day you seek him with your whole heart, then shall you. He says, be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and have turned my feet unto thy testimony. He said, I made haste, and we're talking about obeying God, not doubting. I delayed not to keep thy commandments. So if God has spoken, don't delay. Just do it immediately. To doubt is to not step forward. All right, so let's read. Now, this is, we're dealing with obedience and acting immediately, not delaying, not making excuses. Well, why did you do this? We all got all our excuses. But if you listen, let me ask you a question. If you make a move and do something for God in obedience, do you think God will let you down? No. Then why don't we act in obedience? Right? If we act in obedience, so Lord, I'm going to do this. Do you think God's going to let you down if you act on this word of obedience? No, God will never let us down. Well, why are we delaying and procrastinating? Why don't we pursue God like we are? Because we use a myriad of reasons for why we can't do what God has asked us to do. Don't delay, just pursue. Amen? To doubt is not to step forward. Now, I took these illustrations because these are some that like to make up excuses. Amen? Take away the excuse. Luke 20:14-16 reads, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bid, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began, they did what? They delayed. They procrastinated. They did not act in unhesitating obedience. That is not faith. Right? What did they do? Began to make excuses. All we have to do is listen. If we act on God's word, even if we mess up, God will take the crooked thing and he'll make it straight. All God wants to do is see if we're going to act in obedience. Okay? Said the first thing, I have brought a piece of ground. Let's see if we can find ourselves in any of these excuses. I bow a piece of ground and I must need go and see it. I pray thee. He said, come. Why are you making up excuses? You don't think God can keep that ground until you go to what he has called you to do and go back? You're delayed. That is doubt. You're not acting in full obedience. You are hesitating. You are what? Delayed. Amen. Verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot. Excuses, excuses, excuses. All God said was come. Just act in obedience. Don't delay and don't make up excuses. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out to the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Now listen to what he said. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of it. Why? Because they did not act in obedience. They doubted. What is doubt? To delay. It's not to immediately respond to what God has told you to do. Not what someone told you, but what God says. Amen? To doubt is to delay obeying God by making excuses for why the individual cannot immediately do what he has asked them to do. Luke 9:57 says, and it came to pass. Oh, I know some backwards. I think I have to get y'all's notes. Came to pass. Can somebody finish reading that before we go ahead? Oh, wait a minute. You know what? This is what happens when, wait a minute.
Page 5 for us.
Oh, no, let me see. This is what happens when your printer runs out of ink. When it starts, it starts when it wants to. All right, is that right on the board?
It came to pass.
Yeah. Keep going.
Then as they went
into a way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And do you, if you have your mic, can you just read this for a second?
And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house.
Okay. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is what? Fit for the kingdom of God. The theological dictionary of the New Testament, if you ever read when you're studying, it's that TDNT. That's what that means when you're doing a word study for those that study. It's a theological dictionary of the New Testament points out that this concept of doubt is doubt about human doctrine. Doubt is always a question about God's authority and the veracity of his word. In other words, you question God's truthfulness. Luke 24:33 reads, and they rose up, and pay attention to this, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This is when he met the two men walking from Emmaus after his resurrection. He joined unto them, and he asked them, why are you so sad? He said, are you a stranger and don't know what has happened here? And as he began to reason them from the scripture, from Moses on up, and the scripture said, they said, did not our hearts burn from within? But when they were about to eat, when the Lord blessed the food in such a way, they knew it was him. So they go to the disciples, because they have seen the Lord. Right? Now we're dealing with whether or not we're questioning God's authority or his veracity. Okay? You remember that. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed. He's right there with them, and they still don't believe. That's when you know you have a true problem with doubt. How can you be looking at him? Others have told you about, and you're looking at him, and you still have doubt. And he says to them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your heart?" He said, "Wait a minute. This is me. Why are you still having a problem?" Right, after all you've heard and after all you've seen, you still don't believe. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hand and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said to them, "Have ye..." Listen, he's doing all this and they still don't believe. How did all the hand, the feet, the miracles, and they still didn't believe? He said, I got to do all of this to convince you of my word and my truthfulness, of my authority and who I am. And they gave him a piece of bread, a piece of broiled fish of an honeycomb, and he took it and then eat before them. So they didn't believe until he actually did something they could see. Amen. That is bad. After all they heard and saw. And sometimes we just need to have a selah, a spiritual pause, a reflection in our lives, just to see what God has already done. Say, "Lord, you know, the old saying, Lord, you don't have to do anything else. You've done enough already." We shouldn't have to doubt. Amen. We shouldn't hesitate. We shouldn't delay. Well, somebody said, "Well, this is going to happen." Well, what did God say? God's word should have the preeminence over everything else. His word should be number one. Can we say praise the Lord? Doubt is all about not trusting in. Doubt is not about what? Trusting. Can we read this again? Let's read this again. Doubt. All right, hold on. Y'all got it? If you ain't got it on your little paper, look up on the big screen. Doubt is all about not trusting in God and his word. John 20:24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen him." We've seen him. We're not talking about what someone else has said. We have seen him for ourselves. But he said unto them, "Except..." This is where you get in trouble, right? Believe the witness, if the witness is true, amen? He said, "Except I see in his hand the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will..." And after 8 days, then we know 8 is a number of what? New beginning, right? God is about to bring about a change, a new beginning. Again, his disciples were with them, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. The door, listen, if the door is shut, right? Because they said it was shut in because of fear of the Jews. If the door is shut and something shows up in front of you, you got to know that has power. You got a serious issue. Everything is shut. The only way he could get here is he had to have power. Here he peers out with the doors and everything locked, and you still don't believe. When he showed up, everybody should have been shouting and praising the Lord. That should have been enough. But when your mind is off, when your mind is preconceived that things have to be a certain way, even if it happened before your eyes, you still won't believe. Why? Because your mind has created a mental doubt, a mental unbelief. So God is moving mightily in your midst. And you're still sitting there like a buck on the log. Why? Because in your mind, You are not allowing God's words to have the preeminence. Amen. So say the door is being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then says he to Thomas. After all that, Thomas still is doubting. He says, Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it to my side, and be not, don't be a faithless one. Don't be one that's not believing. Don't be one that doesn't have full obedience. He said, be not faithless, but what? Believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, those that don't know who Jesus is, he just tell you who he is. He's the Lord and he is God. Because Thomas was a Hebrew. Right? So a Hebrew knew who the Lord was and they knew who God was. Because behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is. So he said, behold, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Romans 14:23. Has thou faith? Have it to thyself before the church, before the pastor, before the bishop. Your faith is supposed to be before who? God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which thing which he allowed. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Now listen, if you do anything just through the emotions, God is not impressed with that. Because faith, when you do it of faith, you're doing it in what? Obedience. Right? So if you're just doing something, well, the church is doing it, well, I don't really want to do it, I'm just going to do it. God said, well, don't do it. Because it won't profit you. Because it has to be done in faith, in what? Obedience. So he said, whatsoever is not of faith is doubt. Whatsoever is not of faith is unbelief. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. What's sin? Disobedience. So if faith is obedient, the opposite of obedience is disobedience. Disobedience is sin. What is sin? Missing the mark. You would think, well, if the opposite, we've been taught that the opposite of faith is unbelieving or doubt. No. Paul said, if you don't do it in faith, it is sin. Amen. To him that knoweth to do good, to him that it is, well, why? Because you're not doing it in obedience. So anytime we walk in disobedience, that is sin. Because that's the opposite of what God has asked us to do. The Christian view of doubt would expect Paul to say, whatsoever is not of faith is unbelief. But for Paul, the opposite of faith is sin, because his understanding of faith includes obedience. For Paul, faith doesn't include obedience. Faith is obedience. If we as a church, personally, and collectively, could just act in obedience to God, boy, we see God move. Amen? If we could just act, what's obedience? It's faith. Right? If you read the whole whole Hebrews 11 chapter about faith, they all acted. Nobody did anything. Abraham offered Isaac. They said others died in faith. Right? Not having received the promise, but having seen them fall, but they embraced them and they were persuaded by them. That's what faith is. Lord, I don't have to get it right now, but I believe. I'm still persuaded. Amen. Luke 17:1 read, then said he unto the disciple, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him to whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast it to the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed tonight, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. I wonder how many of us really take these scriptures to heart, right? If he trespass against you, and you rebuke him, and he repent, then you ought to do what? Forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt. Now, we know how most of us are. You've done that one time too many. Right? Right? That's what I mean. Just be truthful. I forgave you one time. You think I'm whatever. Right? I'm not going to let you walk over me. Jesus said, listen, if you rebuke them and they repent, that means. So he's giving us this illustration of the Matthew. He said, you ought to forgive them 7 times 70. What? He can do that in one. He said one day. If he does this one day, you got to forgive them. Just think of how many times somebody messed up once or twice and we still hold it against them. That's not obedience. So the disciples are there dealing with the Lord. Hey, wait a minute. You want us to forgive like this? Amen. If they rebuke, if they trespass against us 7 times in a day, now he's gonna define what faith is. Because they said, and the apostles. Now before he was talking about the disciples, then he's talking about who? The 12. Right. He said, now he's dealing with all those following him, that those that should have grasped this. Not the disciples anymore, but there's who? The apostles. It's the 12. The 12 said unto him, increase. Who should have been more obedient than the 12? Right? Because he addresses the disciples. But the 12, pay attention, the disciples are all his followers. The 12 are his selected group. Saying, increase our faith. The Lord said, I'm going to show you what faith is. You want me to increase your faith? This is what faith is. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you may say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you. Now he said, what? If you speak to it, it's going to do what? Obey you. He's teaching about faith, right? So when you speak, it has to do what? Obey. Are you all still with me? Right? You're speaking and obeying. He's teaching them. He said, now if they trespass and do it 7 times a day and repent, you have to forgive them. So now he says, faith has to deal with obedience. Are you still with me? All right, so let's continue. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is done from the field, go and sit down to me, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were? He said, listen, you do it. Now I'm teaching you about what? Faith. Right? You said increase our faith. And that's why I like about the Lord. After he always gives us a spiritual principle, he gives us a scriptural or literal application to understand the spiritual principle he just taught. So he said, now I gave you the principle, now I'm going to give you the application so you can see it. All right? So he said, doth he think that servant because he did the things which commanded him? He said, I don't think so. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done what? All those things which were commanded you, say, we are a profitable servant. We have done that which is our. That's what your faith is obedience. Don't think you're going to get a pet. Well, I did this. Well, you just did it in obedience. Right? You say, we have done that which is our. Why? Because I'm following the Master. I'm following Jesus. He's given me the commandment. Because I act in obedience, I don't need to be applauded. I don't need to be praised for that. Because I did it in what? Obedience. So he said, you don't need your faith to be increased. All you have to do is obey all those things that I've said unto you. Do you all understand that? So that's what faith is. Hebrew faith expresses all of me on the way toward alignment with God's purpose and will. So it expresses what? Some of me. And I believe this is a cross, this is like one of those crossroads for saints. Because saints like to give God part. We want to give God what we want. He said, if any man will come unto me, let him first deny himself. So Lord, you got to understand, I'm just a human. God said, yeah, I was in the same body you were in. And I was tempted in all points like as you are. So I understand what you are, what you've gone through. That's why he said, therefore come boldly unto, become boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may attain mercy and find grace. Why? Because I went through every trial that you went through. That's how I'm your perfect example. But I need you to be obedient. So faith expresses all of me on the way towards alignment with God's purposes and will. How many of us say, Lord, not my will, but let thy will be done. Alignment, right? Not just thinking it, but we got to get right in line. It isn't a momentary conversion. It is a lifetime of faith. Is a lifetime of, you know, the Bible says the path of the just is like a shining light. The shine is what? More. So every day we see more of God and we should see less of us. It's transformation. Amen. It's Paul, John said, he must increase and I must. So every day is a transformation. Every day, the things I had struggled with last week, last year, I don't struggle with those this year. Because now I'm aligning all of me with God's purpose and will. I'm aligning what? All of me. My mind, my actions, my praise, my worship, how I treat one another, how I treat you. I do it in alignment with God's will because I'm being transformed. I'm not conforming to this world, but I'm being transformed by the what? Renewing of my mind. Well, why do you want to be transformed? So I can prove what is that? Good, acceptable, and how many of us want to be in the perfect will of God? Then we got to align ourselves with his purpose. Amen. Our purpose, if we're not careful, will rival God's purpose. The way the devil was able to trick Eve is because the devil was able to get Eve to see things from a human or from an ungodly perspective. Now, when you start trying to see the things of God from an ungodly perspective, be assured you will not disobey God. Because he got her to see things contrary to what God said. He said, no, you will not surely die. What did God say? You will die. Like, so he reasoned with her in her mind to get her to see it from her own perspective. Now, she has to make a decision. Because if she had not reasoned, listen, if she had never reasoned with the devil, but the devil came, she said, no, God says do this, the whole deal would have been sealed. But when you begin to rationalize, when you begin to reason, right, say, well, maybe God did mean that. Yes, God meant what he said. So she had to act in obedience. So when Eve began to rationalize, when she began to reason, then you know what Eve said? She said, I know better than God knows. That's what she said. I know better than God knows. Well, what did the devil tell her? He said, you should be like God. So because you want to be like God, that means you don't have to listen to God because you are God. So that's what reasoning would do, make you think that you are God. And it will make you make the wrong decision every time. All she had, when the devil started, she said, stop saying, we know what God says. Right? And so many times in our life, have you ever been on fire for God and going, and one of your best friends said, well, that's not what God meant, and your whole little world come crumbling down. Our husband is all excited, and the wife said, that ain't what God meant, and the world come crumbling down. Our wife is all excited, and the husband said, well, that's not what God meant, and the whole world comes crumbling down. God meant what he said. Don't listen to the voice of reason, because that voice of reason will make you miss the mind of God. That voice of reason will take you out of the line of God's purpose and will and put you on your own purpose. Paul said, the things that were gained for me, I counted them lost for Christ. Why? Not to be found with my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is through faith. Your righteousness, your will rivals God. Amen. Let's keep moving. All right. So true faith starts without stopping. True faith does what? So a lot of people got saved and stopped. They started all right. But somewhere along the way, they lost their faith because they stopped. Two-faced, self-stalking is a change in true faith. Self-stalking is a change in what? A lot of people get saved and say, well, that's what I used to do. You're saved. You're supposed to change your direction. Well, I've been like this ever since I'm a child. Then you're not walking in faith because you're supposed to change. Well, what's the change? It's a transformation. It is a metamorphosis. You went from being an ugly, whatever that thing is. What is it called? So the thing starts off on the milk of the word. So it gets deposited on the milkweed, then it goes to the crustacean, then it goes to the this, then it goes to the that. Then the next thing you know, you have a beautiful water butterfly. The thing is this, what makes the transformation? The end product looks nothing like the beginning. Our transformation is this. You are a butterfly now. You should look like a cat. Well, a caterpillar's pretty. I'm gonna go pick some up and throw them on some of y'all. And that caterpillar crawl all over you, right? But what I'm saying, the transformation is this. I am beautiful now. Because God makes all things beautiful in this time. So you've been transformed. The you now should not look like the you when you started. That's a transformation. The you now should not talk like the you when you started. It's a transformation. The you now shouldn't dress like you when you started. It's a transformation. The you now shouldn't talk like you when you started, because it's a transformation. Well, what's the transformation? That is not my will, but I'm aligning myself with God's will. I'm not aligning myself with what the world promotes as right, because friendship with the world is. So now I'm aligning myself with the purpose and will of God, because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, if any man have the love of the world, then the love of the Father. So what's my transformation? I want to be more like God and less like the world. Every day. Can we say every day? So if you change the direction, a new way to go, perseverance towards hope. Of course, the road is bumpy. Anybody got some bumps? Yes. Somebody said, hallelujah. Yes. I think we went from bumps to craters. We went to bumps to something like these big potholes that are tearing up everybody's cars. Right. So we got some potholes. Anybody see some potholes? The road has potholes and diversions and dangerous bridges. We get tired. We might even get a little weary, but guess what? We get confused. Sometimes we make bad judgments. Terrible judgments. True faith is a lifetime of travel in the what direction? What's that direction? Towards God's purpose and will. You know, if we ever just study Jesus, Hebrews the 5th chapter tells us about Jesus. He said he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Right? Jesus, our perfect example, learned obedience through the things which he suffered. We don't ever want to go through anything. You know what suffering does? Suffering is never intended to overthrow us. Suffering can make us have more of a dependence on God. When things happen and we can't explain to the Lord, so I said, dear Lord, I come, but holding nothing. And I have, how many of us really have a one desire? Lord, I have a one desire. All I have is on the altar. And I pray, Lord, well, what does sanctify mean? That means your offering is acceptable unto God. It's well pleasing. So Lord, sanctify. James 1:2 reads, Oh no, let me go back. I didn't get. Let me finish this. We must. Oh wait, no, way back. Oh, we are. Same direction. Where am I at? I don't even know where I'm at. That's why when you do your notes, you shouldn't walk away. You have to stay where you are. Stay. I got it. To detour or go another way is what? Sin. So the opposite of obedience is going the wrong way. The opposite of faith is sin. We must reject the temptation to compromise our faith, even if we're going to be faithful. And if we're going to be faithful and obedient to the Lord. To compromise obedience to the instructions of the Lord is to walk away from faith. No matter what name you put on it, compromise is sin. You can put a whole lot of names on it, but it's still sin. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith work is patience. Most of us know this by heart. But let patience have his sometimes work. Perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. If any of you lack wisdom, lack wisdom of what? Lack wisdom what to do when you're in the midst of a trial. Lord, I'm being warned. If any of you lack wisdom, what do I do that I'm in there? Anybody else know what? You're in one of those situations where your whole head is just swimming? You can't get direction? So if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God the gift to all men. How? Liberally and upbraided not that shall be given them. But let him ask in faith. Don't stagger. Abraham staggered not at the promise. That's what wavering means, to stagger. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive. A double-minded man, disputatious, is unstable, and to waver is doubt, and to doubt is to be double-minded. Double-minded is a Greek word, disputatious. It appears two times. This word for double-minded only appears two times in the whole scriptures. Right? James, and who uses it those two times? James. Alright? James 1:8 and James 4:8. It says, draw nigh to God. We're dealing with being what? Double-minded. So he says, draw nigh to God, and he will. Draw nigh to God, and we're dealing with being double-minded, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye. James is really saying that to waver is a refusal to act on the basis of believing God's word. Once again, James is really saying that to waver is a refusal to act on the basis of believing God's word. If God said it, they say, God said it, I believe it, and that sells it. How many of us really believe that? God said it, I believe it, and that sells it. So when you get a threat from a human, say, God said it. I believe it. And you know what? Isaiah the 37th chapter says, a man shall be a covert from the storm and the wind. A man. How can a man be a covert? We know that man is who? Jesus. All right, Isaiah 37, a man shall be a covert. It means a secret place. He's a protection from the storm and the wind. It is down in God, not in human understanding. God reveals his pathway, but we hesitate. God reveals his what? Pathway, but we hesitate. We say to ourselves, does God speak the truth? How am I speaking to him? Oh. I can see him in my peripheral. They went black. All right. Whoever makes my technology, you can't. All right. It is death in God, not in human understanding. God reveals his pathway, but we hesitate. We say to ourselves, does God speak the truth? How do I know I can? We can always trust God. Amen. Does God really care for me? That is the school choice. It leads immediately to failure to step forward on God's character. And it is to step forward on whose character? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, to him that doeth it not, we should always step forward on God's word and his character. We don't question God's deliverance and ability. Can we all say hallelujah? So I will not doubt any of us that have started, for whatever reason, if you have delayed, amen, if you have began to sink, it's time to start walking again. It's time to say, Lord, change me. Lord, heal me. Lord, you know, the old prayer is, Lord, make me to be what I ought to be. Right? We should willingly surrender to God. It's all about doing the things that honor and glorifies our Father. Can we all say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, do we have any comments, anything before we dismiss? You have a mic.